231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context switching that can distract employees and costs your company. Luckily, Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to crank out clear, on-brand emails, documents, messages, and more. In just one click, they can go from blank page to first draft, all without leaving the page they're on. Grammarly has 15 years of experience building effective, secure AI that can be implemented in days with minimal IT overhead. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences, whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
You know who you are?
Steven is my name. Even Steven.
Will you say something, Steven?
Steven or else media.
You're listening to the Superman Super Show, episode 15, Superman versus the Cab Protective League. I like that name.
Howdy. Welcome to an all-new episode of the Superman Super Show. I'm a host. My name is Ed, and 1,000 miles over there, let's see, there, to my left, is another host, Mr. Steven Orr.
Hey, that's me.
All righty. So, we were going to talk about Kansas, right? Stephen, Kansas, Topeka,
yeah, Yeah, before we started recording, I was really complaining about our driver's ed program at school, and but before the dog interrupted us, what I was leading to was my girls started their driving portion today, and the guy who does the driving portion made it very clear in a meeting. You know, he said in a very exasperated way, "Don't send me your children with no experience behind the wheel." And so we've been trying to find time to get out and do some driving. Haven't found a lot of time. We just haven't, and so. They haven't done a lot of driving. So apparently my oldest daughter, she was the first one. She sat down and basically he just said, "All right, let's go." You know, there was no, you know, here's your turn signals. Here's, you know, and here's how you line up your mirror. Here's how you do all this. There was no, you know, I just seem to remember a lot more stuff in the car before we even moved forward through driver's ed.
Yeah.
And it has become abundantly clear today that despite the money that we spent to put them through driver's ed, we're the ones ultimately, except for the book portion,
right?
We're the ones who are expected to actually teach them how to drive. I feel like there's probably some kind of rule that says, all right, if you guys are going to offer a driver's ed program and you're going to charge your students to take this driver's ed program, you're required to have at least 5 hours worth of drive time. And
sure, yeah, there's some,
that's what they're doing. They're giving us 5 hours. And he made mention to both of them apparently at one point today during the driving that They're going to need to get out and do some more driving with their parents this week. Otherwise, they're probably not going to pass by the end of the week. And as soon as my daughter told me that, I said, you know what? I don't care if we, because the money has been paid. If they don't pass, you know, of course, we don't get the money back. I'm just like, you know what? If it was up to me right now, I would pull you both. I'm just really not happy with this driver's ed program at all.
It raises the question, is there a requirement in Kansas that they have to have this class?
No, there's not. They can learn how to drive from who they're. Basically, there's a requirement to have a certain amount of hours behind the wheel with a licensed driver, basically.
You can pay somebody to do that, can
exactly.
you not? Are there not instructors that...
I'm sure there is, but since we, you know, both my wife and I, we grew up, we did driver's ed through school. That's, you know, they offered it, so we paid for it. And
But I would venture to say, if you can check... I bet your parents did not.
Oh, I bet they didn't. I'm fairly certain when I...
from mom and dad. Yeah. So, you know, now I do know, or I don't know, but I seem to recall back between when I took driver's ed and when my sons did, which both of my sons are in their early 20s, born 95, 97. So I graduated in 81. Somewhere in between there, insurance companies started giving a break to the new drivers if they had had driver's ed in school.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's still a thing. To my mind, the situation that you're saying, that may be the only benefit to having on a piece of paper that they had driver's ed. Otherwise, by what you're saying, you're going to do it anyway, you know, so...
Yeah, and Doug here says in the comments that he remembers his instructor taking them through everything, and
because
he hadn't driven.
And
I remember the same thing.
Anything. Yeah,
but
exactly.
Ultimately, and I'm sure it's the same in most states, but in the state of Kansas, you go to the DMV, there's a written test. As long as you pass the written test at the DMV, and you can take a driver's test at the DMV, if you pass both of those, you get your license.
Right.
Well, this course, ultimately, you do the written test through the course, and I guess these 5 hours this week are the driving test. So once you pass the course, then you take your certificate to the DMV and you get your license. You don't have to take the test at the DMV.
Okay.
You don't have to take the driving test at the DMV. But I'm quickly learning today that that's really the only advantage of going through the school, because it's fairly obvious that either I have to find somebody to teach them how to drive, or I'm going to have to do it myself. And I'm not a very good teacher. I'm an excellent driver. I'm a great driver, but I'm a horrible passenger. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
I'm a horrible passenger. I've spent all of my adult life being the one that drives. Even when I was in school, I had a 1970 Oldsmobile Delta 88. This was a 4-door boat. And so whenever we went somewhere to a concert or whatever, I was driving because I could literally get 10 people into that car if we needed to. And so I was just always the one that drove. And so we'll figure it out. I told both of the girls, because one of them did not have a good time.
The
other one was like, so I told them both. I said, look, if you don't want to go back tomorrow, you don't have to. It's up to you. Said, you know, we're not going to get the money back, whatever. We weren't going to get the money back anyway, whether you passed or didn't pass. That's I'd love to have the money back, but I would much rather if I'm going to have to do most of the work anyway. there's no reason for me to shuttle them back and forth all week.
You had no way of knowing it would be this way. I mean, it's not that the money's wasted. It's just that the money didn't turn out to get me what I thought it would.
Yeah, so they didn't explain it very well in the meeting. But that's my bit of banter today.
Okay. Me thinking as you were speaking, both of mine took driver's ed, but both of mine also had to go to the DMV and take a written and driver's test as well. So in West Virginia, it's still two separate things.
Yeah.
I like your streamlining, but I could also see where, boy, that's an awful lot of pressure and to incorporate the two to get, you know, going to the DMV, picking up the book, studying the book, going to take the test. That just to me sounds like a better atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, so. All right. Today, folks, we're looking at Superman versus the Cab Protective League, which appeared in Action Comics number 13. Written for us by Jerry Siegel, penciled by Joe Shuster and Paul Cassidy, inked by Joe Shuster. Action Comics 13 was published, of course, by DC Comics and has a cover date of June 1939 and an approximate on-sale date of May 2nd, 1939. And that's according to Mike's Amazing World of Comics. So here's what happened. Clark Kent is traveling in a cab, which is hit by a rival company's cab driver. When he questions the driver, he says that the rival driver is a member of the Cab Protective League, an organization that victimizes independent cab companies. Superman visits the independent Carlisle Cab Company. He discovers the boss being threatened by a member of the CPL, which is how we will now refer to the Cab Protective League. He reveals himself and beats up the racketeer, then picks him up and leaps into the air. The racketeer tries to stab him, causing Superman to crash into a building, leading the racketeer to fall to his death. Mr. Reynolds, the boss of the CPL, calls Mr. Carlisle and asks whether he's going to pay for protection. Carlisle refuses, so Reynolds and his henchmen go to confront him. Superman destroys their car and also makes them all destroy their own cabs. Superman also makes Reynolds confess to ordering the deaths of other drivers, and he gets arrested. As the police drive him to the station, Reynolds lights a cigarette. The cops realize too late that the cigarette contains poisonous gas. Superman finds an abandoned police car right where the police were last seen. He hurtles through the roof of the cabin where the car was located, where he finds Reynolds, who now introduces him to his boss, the Ultra-Humanite, the most intelligent man on Earth. Superman approaches the Ultra-Humanite and is caught in a wave of electricity that temporarily knocks him out. The Ultra-Humanite quickly has Superman tied to a board and fed into a sawmill, a la the 20s damsel in distress kind of thing. No train tracks, so we'll put him on the saw blade run thing. But of course, the saw blades have no effect on Superman. In fact, one of the blades breaks off and kills Mr. Reynolds. The Ultra-Humanite calls some henchmen who carry his paralyzed body away to a nearby special airplane and then start the cabin on fire. Superman wakes up and escapes the cabin just before the fire can kill him. He super leaps up and crashes into the Ultra-Humanite's plane, destroying it. However, the Ultra-Humanite's body is nowhere to be found. So, Stephen, what did you think about that issue? Or that story, rather?
Well, first of all, the Ultra-Humanite, this is our first...
Oh, yeah, this is a biggie, yeah.
This would be a landmark issue, because this would be our first... I don't want to call him a super criminal, but he's the smartest guy in the world, and he's bald, like Lex Luthor. He's in a wheelchair, and they refer to him as being crippled a lot when that was still an acceptable word.
Yeah, that's the word they use.
A little cringy nowadays, but that's the word you used back then. Otherwise, this was, I mean, until you get to that point, until you meet that guy, I was kind of scratching my head. It's like, I mean, I guess this is kind of like one of those mob protection racket type of things. You know, a couple of guys, nice taxi cab you got here. Would hate for something bad to happen to it, you know. So it started out to me as kind of a very mundane kind of issue in their kind of story. And then they introduce this guy who is going to show up later. Is he still around today?
As far as I know, I mean, I didn't check to see when his last appearance was. But yeah, I know the Ultra-Humanite from back when I was reading All-Star Squadron when it was coming out. I know the Ultra-Humanite was in that. And I think he's still around the DC Universe. I don't know what capacity, or I'm sure that the character has changed by now. So I don't know, you know, what it is anymore, but I feel pretty certain that it's still around in some capacity. Yeah.
All right. Let me pause. I've had it on mute, but he's just barking and barking and barking.
Okay.
I apologize to everybody. I'll be right back.
And so, yeah, this is the first appearance of what is going to turn out to be a reoccurring threat for Superman. looking a little bit ahead, he's going to have several appearances in the next 8 to 10 stories here. So, I mean, he's going to be pretty big there. But then, honestly, he disappears for like many, many years. But it's a beautiful setup to our creators or some other creators in the future to hook this character and bring them forward to, you know, wherever they are, whatever they're doing. Gonna be a nice setup for the character. He's because he's smart, I think he's gonna be a pretty good foil for Superman. You know, Superman, not that Superman is dumb, but Superman is all everything else. He's all body, right? He's super strong and fast and all these other things. Whereas I think much as the way that Superman's greatest foe, you know, Lex Luthor, the Ultra Humanite will use his brain, I would imagine, to devise ways, knowing that ultimately, no matter what he does, you know, he'll encounter Superman sometime somewhere along the way. So he'll have things ready that he can spring on Superman just from having watched and listened to Superman that he thinks will waylay Superman. And, you know, perhaps they will, perhaps they won't. I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. I was really tempted when I saw that the Ultra Humanite was in this issue to go ahead and just binge read a bunch of stories to see, but I hold back because I want everything to be as fresh to this 54-year-old brain as I can keep it. So I only read 3 or 4 stories, you know, about what we cover in one of these recordings, and I try not to read ahead until the next time I'm preparing for the next recording, and so that way. The brainy villains, Doug, I assume you're meaning? Yeah, because, I mean, you know, visually, if you throw a Jim Lee or a Wills Portacio or some of these other artists out there, seeing two people bash each other's heads in, that can be entertaining in a comic book medium as well, you know, being visual. But as far as, I think, story and long-term story writing and me thinking things through, yeah, the intellectual ways of trying to defeat Superman or any superhero to me always seems much more entertaining because as the reader, I don't necessarily know what is going to come up next. You know, what are they, when they open that door, what is it going to be? If it's a big ox dude on the other side of the door, well, then, you know, okay, they're going to throw down and break some walls and crash some doors and, you know, and that's okay. It has its place, but. Yeah, long-term entertaining are the brainy guys that sit and stew for 8 or 10 issues since you saw them last, and then they try again. And yeah, so that's always, those kinds of things are always entertaining, I think. More entertaining than the knockdown dragout. All right, Steven, so the Ultra Humanite. Yes, sir. I was telling everybody, I was almost tempted, or not almost, I was very tempted to read ahead when I saw that this character was here, but I hold off and I just try to read what we need. That way it's fresh and it stays more entertaining because I don't, you know, I don't end up reading these like 3 or 4 or 5 times because I read ahead and forgot and then we're recording. So,
yeah, because these stories are short enough and some of the same kind of similar situations happen that you get 20 stories ahead and they all kind of blend together, you know? So, yeah, I get that.
Well, but you were saying the early part of this story, it seems very much like the others' stories have gone as far as Superman versus a racket, whatever that racket may be. Yeah. And this one, why it had to do with cabs, I don't know, maybe a cabbie pissed Siegel off or something. You know, you wonder, what made you turn your stick on the cab and poke and, they suck.
I think one of the funny things about it is it's obviously a the Cab Protection League is they're obviously an illegal organization, or at least they the service they provide is not technically legal, but yet they have their own building because I think at one point somebody, a reporter or a cop, is like,
"Yeah,
let's go down to the Cab Protection League building or something." Right. It's like, so you know, it's like knowing like who the mafia is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like knowing who the mafia is, knowing that they know that they're doing illegal stuff, but they don't have any evidence, so they can't do anything about it. This is where the mob operates out of, but we can't prove it. So Yeah, right.
That's a
we can't prove it. Let me just count this fat stack of hundreds here.
Real quick, a little weak sauce there.
But yeah, I mean, and then of course the whole sawmill thing, that was funny. Like you said, very 20s.
Yes.
They might as well just tied him to a railroad track. You know,
might as well have. Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised since we've seen the saw blade. Why haven't we seen the railroad track before now? That's, you know.
The Superman Super Show will return after these messages.
Attention, everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house, guest-approved bedding for a season of hosting, top brands and cookware, festive holiday decor for indoors and out, and so much more. Whether you need a new sofa that fits the whole family or a new serving dish that fits your famous sweet potato casserole, Wayfair is the place to go for Black Friday deals on finds to feast. Get festive and get comfortable all season long. Plus, sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home, even the big stuff. And the best part, speedy delivery in time for the holidays. There's no place like home for the holidays, and no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. Shop early Black Friday deals right now and save up to 70% off, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now back to the Superman Super Show.
And he was unconscious. Was he unconscious which was really weird. The body position they put him in, they didn't lay his legs out straight, which I thought was odd. They left one of his legs, his knees sticking up, and I don't know if that obviously was artistic license.
Yes,
I can't see that in the script. Make sure you leave because it had nothing to do with the story. It's not like because they left his leg that way, he was able to get out from his bonds. You know, mm-hmm. Like I could see that happening with Batman since he's not super strong. You know, they left my leg like this, so I wasn't completely tied to the thing, so I was able to get loose.
There's some slack. Yeah,
you know, it's like the artist just wanted. I want to draw him in a little more exciting pose than just laying flat. So I'm gonna put his knee bent up in the. I just thought that was a weird choice.
Also, that he succumbed to an electrical charge. I was like,
yeah.
How much electricity would that take nowadays? Is it even possible to reach that amount of electricity to knock Superman out using it?
Yeah, because what did they say? Because my first thought was, oh well, I guess we found his weakness.
Did they give an amount? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, they say because after he falls, the lackey says, "What the? He's still alive." And the ultra-humanite says, "He must indeed be a Superman. That charge was enough to kill 500 men."
Okay.
Which seems to me, though, that would just instantly set the cabin on fire, you know, a charge like that to kill 500 men. But so, yeah, it was a pretty big charge, but it just knocked him out. Oh, and then, oh, my good Lord, when his head encounters the saw blade and the saw blade explodes, we get a lovely panel here. What is that? 84, where the lackey is hit in the throat
in the throat, yes,
by one of these saw blades and dies. And if the image isn't enough, we're told Reynolds dies a horrible death as one of the steely fragments pierces his throat. And then the ultra humanite suddenly has hair in the next panel.
Yes, you're right.
Red hair.
Yeah.
Which, you know, as we know, Lex Luthor had red hair.
Yep.
I don't think this guy has any. This guy has nothing to do with Lex Luthor. But it's funny that the first real supervillain, and I'll use that term loosely, quote unquote supervillain, but reoccurring villain, we'll say that, you know, one of his members, you know, is the first member of his rogues gallery, is a super genius bald guy.
Yep.
You know, and if you remember the very first episode when we talked about how Superman was being developed before he came to comic books, the very first story that was written, that Siegel wrote about a character by the name of Superman, ended up being a bad guy, and he too was bald. So maybe Siegel has something against bald people.
Bald people. Maybe he's bald at this
maybe
point. Although I don't think so. In the next book that we're covering, I believe there's a picture of Siegel and Schuster at the end of the story.
Yeah,
right?
There is.
Those are photographs. They didn't transfer over very well, but
no.
they're photographs.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's see. And then of course he destroys the plane, and there is no body. So if there is no body, we know what that means.
We know there's no death. Yeah.
Right.
And so not only do we have the moment where an electrical charge big enough to kill 500 men knocks him out, the cabin, you know, the when they realize they're not going to be able to kill him, when the saw blade breaks, the ultra humanite calls for more thugs who come in and carry him away. And then he has them light the cabin on fire. And Superman escapes, but as he's running from the burning building, he says, "Phew, that was almost the end of me." So I guess he could burn to death in this.
I don't know. Smoke inhalation,
form?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the problem really is that we see now and know that, no, that wouldn't work. No, that doesn't work. You know, at the time, just like anything else, they're still.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is only, what, 13, 14, 15? We've talked about 15 stories of him. So they don't know what Superman
is. Yeah, they're still trying to figure him out. They're flying by the seat of their pants with this guy. The only thing they know for sure is what they say in that opening panel of all these stories about his, you know, his strength and him leaping, and hey, he's fast. We know he's got X-ray vision and super hearing. But that's really about
I'll
all
say,
these,
though,
yeah.
They've done a really good job of not having conflicting things going on.
Yeah.
That he is susceptible here, but he's impervious to it there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're staying pretty streamlined about, you know, these won't hurt him and these, maybe,
yeah.
You know, so yeah. So at least somebody or maybe even Siegel and Schuster are keeping these things straight in their mind. You know, I've read some other Golden Age stuff by the same creator, and it's like, well, yeah, but three issues ago you said that, you know, so
yeah.
Actually, I think Mr. Stan Lee was pretty well known for doing things like that. So
yeah, that's why they invented the No Prize.
So, but it started out as kind of another of the stories that we've been reading, and typical. I mean, I don't necessarily want to say typical, but that's usually the word that will be thrown out. But then we have the Ultra Humanite, which,
yep.
Again, unfortunately, we have foresight, I guess. I guess that's what it would be, to know what that character turns into. And we're like, oh, you know, flag here, big moment. To them at the time, you know, it was just a really brainy dude that we let escape. So we'll use him again.
Yeah. And really, I kind of thought of this as I'm reading it. It's like this makes me think of certain TV shows that I've watched. And I'll use Supernatural as an example, and you could use Smallville as an example too. Think of the first season of Smallville was very much Monster of the Week,
mm-hmm.
And Supernatural is kind of the same. And you're watching each episode, and you're like, yeah, this is kind of fun, you know. But then at some point, you know, six episodes in, eight episodes in, something happens that makes you go, okay, now we've escalated. We've escalated the story. And I feel that kind of happened in this issue, because not only did the guy get away, really in the end, this is the first villain that he's come across that is that's got the better of him for even for a moment, knocked him out, tied him to a thing, and tried to split him in half with a buzzsaw. But still, he got the better of Superman there for a little bit and managed to escape unscathed, as far as we know. So, yeah, I mean, at the time, I've got to imagine people were reading this going, holy crap, who is this ultra humanite? Look what he's done.
Superman.
Yeah. And he got away, you know, so you almost, even not knowing what's going to come after this, you almost finish this story going, oh, he's coming back. You know, he's coming back.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, really.
So
don't know if it'll be next story, but he'll be back.
Yeah.
He'll be back.
Yeah. That'll be fun. Running across him again. And then, you know, seeing how long we go with, you know, or at what point do they introduce more villains like this, more reoccurring villains? This is
right.
This is where we're going to, I'm just going to say, this is the first one. I think this is in the books, boom, first Superman reoccurring villain.
Okay, let me mark that down. Steven says, okay.
And now we'll see
if you turn out to be right.
Right, or, you know, we'll see what John and some of the other folks out there on Twitter have to say about that.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, we're reading this these stories for the first time. You know. Mm-hmm. A lot of the other people that have been commenting on our Twitter and whatnot have read these, but they have moved on past these as well. So they have hindsight and foresight and sidesight.
And plus, so, there's certain stuff, like, of course, the whole Jimmy Olsen debate. We, Jimmy Olsen technically really shows up for the first, he's a product of the radio show.
Right.
Other stuff happened for the first time in the newspaper strip. So I'm not as steeped in the knowledge at this point to know that as of the time this issue came out, were the newspaper strips happening? What else was going on?
Actually, they had been happening since the beginning of this year.
Okay.
So this came out in May. So since January, like the second or third week of January of this same year, they'd been having daily strips, I guess it was.
So for all I know, There could have been another supervillain, reoccurring villain that showed up in a comic strip 3 days before this. You know,
yeah, maybe. I mean,
but as far as the floppies are concerned, I'm calling this his first reoccurring villain.
But us, you know, we're staying pure with the comic book.
Right.
The radio is there, but we're not talking about the daily strip. Is it? We're not talking about that one. The movie serial? No, I don't think there's been a movie serial yet, but we probably won't be talking about that. Yeah. There's the Fleischer animated, which I'm sure is later as well. We're not talking about that right now. So, you know, the comic book, and this is what we know, an Ultra Humanite first appearance.
I do find it interesting, though, that there were a number of occasions in which forms of media outside of Action Comics and then the Superman book itself that is going to be hitting really soon, that ended up influencing what was, you know, the stuff that we know about Superman that we take for granted as, oh, well, that's probably been there since the beginning. And it's like, no, that Jimmy Olsen came from the radio show.
The fact that
he flies is because they got sick of drawing him leaping in the Fleischer animation features,
hanging off of edges of buildings and things.
Yes. And who was it? Was that John on Twitter, or was it?
No, was it the old time radio?
I think it was the
radio.
Yeah. Yeah. The Superman radio program
said we need to start, because he had read ahead a little bit and said we should start. And I almost went back to do that, but I just didn't have the time just to see up to now how many times it had
happened. But him saying that, darn it, now I gotta find the tweet. And it shouldn't be too hard, because it
makes you think. Yeah. And I will. I'll just out of curiosity, like I said, I ran out of time today, but I did intend to go back and see, because after having read that tweet, he did it once or twice in the three or four stories that I read for tonight. So I'm like, okay, you got me. I'll flip through, you know, half of the Golden Age book that we've gone through and see so far how many times it's been. Because I made mention a couple times that that's what he did, that he jumped and hung.
Right.
Right. Yep. So, yeah.
It was over on Twitter. It was the Superman Radio Revisited podcast at Radio Superman, who had commented. It was in basically the one of the previous episodes where I had mentioned, you know, the reoccurring thing of Superman. Each issue now, it seems like he grabs somebody up and tucks them under his arm and leaps about. And the Superman Radio Revisited podcast commented, so far I've read up to Action Comics number 40. And another count you may want to start is, how many times is Superman hanging from the ledge of a building? And yeah, once I read that, I'm fairly certain he does it. Does he do it in this issue? Now I can't remember, but I know
I don't remember if it happened in this issue, but it does in one of these stories.
Yeah.
When he's listening to the cab dude, is he hanging out the window when he's...
I'm flipping through it right now.
Yeah, I'm flipping back here. Trashing, jumped in.
When he's falling, and the dude falls to his death, he catches himself on a window.
Which is funny. It's like, do you really need to save yourself? Why couldn't you just flop? I mean, is that not? Okay.
You know, and that, I find that curious as well, because I'm thinking, I don't remember what the show was. I feel like there was I don't know if it was a TV show or a movie about a character who had superpowers, and I feel like it was a young person, but they knew that, for example, if somebody stabbed them, it wouldn't pierce their skin, but they weren't confident to know exactly what would and what wouldn't kill them. Right. So
they didn't
something
just
like
let stuff
that.
Happen.
Yeah, so something like that, it's like, well, I'm falling from a 40-story building, but I'm pretty sure it won't kill me, so I'm just going to let it happen. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about when Superman does stuff like that. It's like, I better catch myself because I'm not quite sure if I'll survive this fall, or when he's running from that burning cabin, you know?
Yeah.
He's not confident enough in his own powers to just, you know, the Superman of today would just suck in the fire and the smoke into his lungs and then blow it into space.
Well, he is at the point where he takes bullets now, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just stand there, and he'll even be drawn with the stick it, like, you know, come on. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Watch this.
Exactly. So. Yeah. So, yeah, because he's been shot at. So he knows that that's not going to hurt him. But you don't know if the writer is thinking about stuff like that when they're like, you got to catch himself on that ledge before he hits the ground. Or if the writer's even confident, if Siegel's even confident at this point. Will a fall from a 40-story building, will he survive that? I'm not ready to put that down on paper yet. So,
what would happen? Do I know?
Yeah. Because, you know, you don't want to, as a writer, you don't, there is something to say about not wanting to just spell it all out right there at the beginning. Or even to yourself, you know, it's like, all right, so Superman's going to fall. Do I just let him crash to the ground and get up and brush the dust off his uniform? Or do I want to make that stand at this point? Do I want to put that down on paper? Because maybe three issues from now, I might want to write a story where he breaks his leg falling from a building. And that puts him in a particular predicament that isn't going to happen. And, you know, you don't know how deep some writers are thinking sometimes. It could even be that the artist, you know, Siegel was just like, maybe I should just have him grabbing the leg. You know, it may not have even been spelled out. It just could have been an artist interpretation, you know, something the artist wanted to do.
Could have been. Yep. Alrighty. I don't think have anything else that I noted. Let me see. Yeah, that's pretty much everything that I've picked out.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else either. I just was very shocked internally for a moment, very clutching my pearls. When two people died in the issue.
Just two, the saw blade dude and the dropped dude. Yeah, I guess it was just two.
Yeah, I'm sure the pilots on the airplane, on the plane died. They say that he couldn't find the ultra humanite. They don't mention the pilots. I don't think so.
There were pilots, and didn't he have some flunkies with him? Two or three?
Probably, yeah.
You know, so, yeah, no mention of them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then, we do want to thank everyone for listening to this episode of the Superman Super Show. If you want to drop us a line, ask us a question, or just provide feedback in general, you can send an email to thesupermansupershow, all one word, at gmail.com. Now, you can also reach us on Twitter over at Supes, S-U-P-S, Supershow, one word, or even better, come join the fun on the forum at forum.justanotherfanboy.com. All these links will be in the show notes, so don't worry about writing them down, which I know you guys didn't anyways. But hey, if you were trying to, they're in the show notes. So, until next week, guys, I'm Ed, that's Steven, and this was the Superman Super Show.
Bye.
Ciao.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Superman Super Show. Questions and comments can be directed to thesupermansupershow@gmail.com. If you enjoyed the show, you can help to boost our presence online by leaving a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. The Superman Super Show is a presentation of Steven or Else Media. For more nerdy content just like this, check out stevenorelse.com or just use the link in your show notes. Superman is a registered trademark of DC Comics and was created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
Superman's bad. I mean, he was bad.
It's a Muppets. I was thinking insert Monty Python here.
I was just having a fun little song.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context and tab switching that drains employee focus and costs your company. Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to write clearly and on brand without disrupting workflow. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more.
Need parts now? O'ReillyAuto.com offers in-store pickup, same-day home delivery, or next-day home shipping. Get more parts your way at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.